This morning, I'm going to fill in for Pastor Darren, and he has a communion message. So I went to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to use for a topic? And the Lord, having a sense of humor, gives me a topic that is way too big for 1 hour. And that's the topic of faith. And now, well, actually, before we do anything, I want to pray. So please join me. Father God, you have given me a topic where it's 7 pounds of material for a 5-pound bag. And Father, I ask that you would help me to throw away the chaff and keep your word, Lord. Speak through me, and that only what you want us to hear this morning would be presented. And we thank you, Lord, that you're in our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you give us faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is a fascinating topic. I've been blessed to spend time with in the last 3 weeks. You know, it's something I think in our post-Christian world has kind of lost meaning. We don't pay as much attention to it as we did in the past. Yet, you know, we use it. You know, somebody is in the faith. They've kept their faith. Do they have faith? And that, you know, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So this morning I want to do a word study, and we're going to spend more time in Hebrews 11, which is a faith chapter, than any other. But it's not going to be a typical Hebrews 11 study. It's going to be more of a word study. Now, I guess I'd have to ask the question: what does faith mean to you? All right? Any responses? Oh, Darren's telling me that I need to put this up. I don't know if I can bend it enough. Is that better? Yeah, no, it's not. But it's better if I hold it. This isn't going to work. I can't hold it. I need to slide it how? Yeah, so that your microphone holds it closer to your mouth. Is that better? I always need a lady to help dress me. What can I tell you? Usually it's my wife, but we'll, you know, we're in public here, so this is. Okay. Thanks, Neely. Thanks. Okay, let's see. Now we're going to go back to the subject at hand. Okay. I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of people, but I don't know about you. You know, I accepted the Lord as Savior 36 years ago. And I have to admit, I don't know that I ever really thought through what faith means to me in that. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. Now, it's interesting. Faith is mentioned 245 times in the Bible, right? 40 times in the Gospels and Acts, and 23 times just in Hebrews 11, right? Now, I figure anything that God mentions that many times in the Bible, it must be important for me to know what it is. And that. So open your Bibles to Hebrews 11, if you would. And if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and we will get one into your hands. First, the importance of faith, right? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, I'm going to assume that everybody here wants to please God. Safe assumption? Good. Yeah, I was hoping not to get any dissenting views there. Okay, there's one fact and two keys of faith in this verse. The first fact is that without faith, we cannot please God. All right, now if we want to please God, that means we must have faith. All right, so the subject is important to us. All right, the first key of faith is that faith is believing that God exists. And it's interesting, just yesterday I was listening to a radio debate from England back in the 1940s between a believer and a non-believer, whether God existed. And that, and there's atheists today that say that there's no God, God does not exist. And that, it's foolish, and that, but there's a lot of people believe that. We need to, if we're going to have faith, we need to, one, believe that God exists, and two, we need to believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Right? And the key word in this passage, right, is earnestly seek him. Right? I hate to say, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, that kind of seek Jesus. They seek Jesus when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, when it's easy, right? If you're earnestly seeking something, you're working hard at it, right? Okay, let's try to come up with a definition of faith next, right? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yes, Mary, let me bring the mic to you.
Interpretation in my Bible says, now faith is confidence
okay, and actually that's good, that's worked right with me, thank you.
Okay.
And that that's part of the, look at the Greek definition for that's in the New Testament: credence, moral persuasion, moral conviction of the truthfulness of God, reliance upon Christ for salvation, confidence, right? Don't those words describe confidence? And that, so yeah, your translation I think is fine. And that, you know, it's just using a different word. And that the Hebrew, I like, is established, trustworthy, truth, steady, truly. Right? Now, look at this verse in Hebrews, I mean in the King James, right? The substance of things, right? I found, I took a look at the word substance, right? The Greek for that is a setting under, essence, assurance, confidence. In a way, think about it, right? This building, there's a foundation. Everything is built on that foundation, right? We have confidence that the walls will stand because there's a good foundation, right? Faith is the foundation. It's the substance, right, of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The Bible is full of instances where God said something and it didn't happen for a period of time. But yet those who had faith, right? Our heroes in the Bible are all people of faith. All people of faith, heroes, all of the heroes in the Bible are people of faith, right? And when the Lord says something, for instance, in Genesis, right, after the fall, he said that he would provide a Savior. It took years, but he did, right? He told Noah there would be a flood. There was a flood. And that faith is knowing that God is trustworthy to his word. And so if he says something to us, if his word says something to us, it's as if it exists right now. I can act on what it says as if I see it in front of me. If you think about it, the same thing is true with our eyesight. Right? There's light, right? But without my eyes, I can't see the light. And that faith is having and using spiritual eyes. Now, a key question to me is, who or what do we have faith in? An important question, trust me. Right? Right? Galatians 2:20 tells us who we should have faith in. Right? Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live, my existence, what I do, is by faith in the Son of God. Right? The third key to faith is that our faith is in Jesus and the Lord. All right, now, well, what is faith in God? And faith in God is trusting that God is trustworthy in his promises, that his word is true. Right, Romans 5, right, the root of Jesse, talking about Jesus, will spring up one who will rise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? All joy is peace is as we trust in him. I thought this quote was interesting. This is from Martin Luther King Jr. The God whom we worship is not a weak or incompetent God. He's able to beat back gigantic waves of opposition and to bring low prodigious mountains of evil. The ringing testimony of the Christian faith is that God is able. Now, we can have faith in God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's power, God's knowledge. Right? We know these things about God. These are the things that we have faith in. Right? Bottom line to me is that our faith is in a God who is all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Now, here's something that's important. Our faith is not in faith.
All right.
Now, this last week, right, Maggie asked us to pray for friends of theirs that had a premature baby, baby Gabby. And baby Gabby went home to be with the Lord a couple days ago. Now, there are those who would say that if we'd had enough faith, if the family had had enough faith, that child would be alive today. Now, okay, now let me talk about this for a second, because I don't want people to misunderstand. This is important, right? And that I believe that the Lord did answer our prayers. Right? We prayed for healing for that baby, but that healing, that baby Gabby, she's in heaven with perfectly formed lungs right now. She has been healed. We will all be healed if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we go to heaven, because we will have a new body in heaven. And this body will not be subject to COVID, cancer, or any other disease. Praise God for that. And that. Now, what's happened is when people say, if you had enough faith that somebody would be healed, their faith is in faith. Right? Think about it. I'm not stuttering here. Their faith is in their faith. And they're saying, if you have enough faith, right? Well, doesn't that sound like works?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're saying that if you work hard enough at your faith, you will be rewarded. So their hope is in works, not in Jesus. Right? Now, by the way, we have a card in the back from the church for... We need to be praying for Gabby's parents, her family. You know, we've never lost a child. I can only imagine how horrible that is, how hard that is, and we need to be praying for the parents. And so there's a card in the back that we want to send to the family, and that from the church, to let them know that they're being prayed for and that the Lord is faithful. And that, so please, on your way out, stop. And, okay, now, how do we exercise our faith? I think the evidence is that faith is a circle. George is coming up here. Oh, he's going to do something sneaky.
I think you've lost your mic.
I've lost the mic. Okay, well, here, George.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I was wondering what was going on there.
Can't let amateurs.
I see what's happened. It's come unclipped.
Ignore the sound man, right?
Well, at least it's got up there by your ear. That's a little better.
You want me to go use the hand mic?
Yeah.
George, should I use, I guess you can, this, you can, this is good, okay. Love technology.
I was into the story, I didn't even notice.
Good, thank you. Okay, now, you may say to yourself, you know, the Lord's never asked me to move out in faith. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but you're not right. That's wrong, right? Because when you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus as my Savior, that I need a Savior, you were acting in faith. You were acting on things not seen, as if they were, and taking action on that. The beginning of faith is knowing something about God's nature. Right now, how do we know something about God's nature? We spend time in His Word, right? We spend time in prayer, right? How do I have faith that that sofa will hold me if I sit on it? Well, I've sat on it before, and I haven't gained that much weight. But we know something about the faith. We know something about His nature. And we have faith in His nature, right? Now, key is putting faith into action. And if you think about it, if I were to ask, you know, what type of word faith is it a noun, a verb, an adjective, an adverb, and that, I think I might get different answers, right? To me, faith is an action word, right? If you don't act out your faith, you don't have faith. Faith requires you to do something. You need to step out into it, move into it, do something. So you put faith into action. Now, when you put faith into action, the Lord will respond. Now, His response isn't always immediate, and it isn't always what you expect. Baby Gabby, we were hoping for a different answer, and sometimes that's true. But we see the Lord act in His nature. He is faithful to His nature. Right? When we see Him act, now we learn more about God's nature. Right? And our faith grows. And that puts us in a position that the next time it's easier for us to act in faith, or we can act on a bigger thing in faith. Right? You think about the parable of the talents. Right? The Lord gave 1, 5, 10 talents. And the one who had 10 did works. The one who did 5 did works. The one who did 1 buried the talent. The Lord said, well, give more to the one who did 10 and did more works. And the Lord will build us up as we act out our faith, as we move out in faith. He will give us more opportunities to expand our faith even more. Why? Because He wants to know us. He wants our life to be full. Right now, there's obstacles to faith. We all face these one time or another. All right, let's look at them. All right. I got this list from Charles Stanley, so he deserves credit. The first one is human reason. All right. I like to think I'm fairly smart. Lord says, hey, do this. And I look and I go, well, that ain't going to work. Right? And so I don't do anything because I'm acting on my own human reason. Right? Or I get to move in faith and I say, well, I can't see that happening. Right? I can't stand on something that I can't see. Or I get fearful. I'm afraid that if I move out in faith, something bad will happen to me. And so I'm afraid, and I surrender to my feelings. It could be that I get negative counsel, right? Have you ever thought about doing something in faith, and your friends your family go, that's stupid, that ain't going to work out. And then you don't act out, don't move in faith. Right? Sometimes we have feelings of guilt. I've done something so bad that the Lord may promise to do this, but he would do it for you, but he wouldn't do it for me because I've had this sin in my life, this horrible sin. And that. It could be that I don't move because I have neglected God's word. I've neglected prayer time. I don't know what his word says. It could be that I've got a continuing, ongoing sin in my life that the Lord's convicted me of, and I refuse to change. The bottom one is maybe the king of them all, Satan's tactics. Because the enemy does not want us to move out in faith. That's the last thing that the devil wants for us to do. And so he's going to use all of these things up above to get us to keep from moving out in faith. Now, okay, I've given you all kinds of problems, reasons why we don't act out, don't act in faith, don't put our faith into action. See, thanks a lot, Pastor. What do we do now? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's one answer to all of the obstacles, right? What is it? Focus on Jesus. Look at how a focus on Jesus affects the obstacles that we face. Right? My human reason says that can't happen. All right, let's see now. I know X. God knows everything. Do I trust me or do I trust God? No, I look to Jesus and trust him and I can act in faith. Right? I see this room. God sees everything. Should I limit my actions based on my sight? No, I should move out in faith. Right? I get negative counsel. Right? I've got some smart friends among this body. None of you are as smart as Jesus. I'm sorry. Move on quickly. Yeah. Don't be a sitting target. Okay. Right? Satan's tactics. Right? Now, what do we know about Satan? Well, does it tell us that he's a liar? He's the father of lies. If we listen to these lies and we don't move out in faith, what we're basically saying is that we believe Satan's lies. We believe the lies, we empower the liar. And worse than that, we're saying, God, I don't trust you and your promises. Really? Really? Should I want to tell the Lord that he's a liar? That his promises aren't true? I don't think so. That's not where I want to live. Now, what happens when we do not overcome liars? Right? 1 Timothy 4 tells us, right, that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Right? In effect, we're believing the liar. Okay, now, let's get into Hebrews 11. Right. Verse 2, it tells us, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. All right. The Greek word for report is testimony, witness. Right? And now, faith gives us a good witness to unbelievers, but it also gives us a good witness to the Lord. Right? You've all seen cases where you do something, and, well, I'll give you an example. Right? Somebody recently, and I didn't ask permission, so I won't mention them by name, because I don't want to embarrass anyone. And that was facing some surgery. And I was talking to them before the surgery, and obviously they had a desire for a successful surgery. All right? Natural. But they said to me that no matter how the surgery turned out, they know the Lord would work it for good, because that's what the Word says. That's an amazing witness. Right? And that, now, it encouraged me. What would it say to a non-believer about their faith in the Lord? That's kind of witness people go, gee, maybe I do want to know this Jesus that allows you to act that way. Faith gives us a witness. Right. Verse 3, though through faith we understand the worlds were formed by the word of God, the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Kind of a convoluted sentence, but yes, I have trouble with it too. It makes me cry out. Faith believes in things not seen as if they are seen. If God says it's so, whether I see it, whether I can put my hands on it, and it's so, period. Faith believes in things not seen, right? You think about it, right? The things that were made, the things that were physically made were made by a God who is not seen, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light. All right, the psalmist wrote, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. Right, the Lord can bring physical presence just by saying it is so. That's true of everything. All right, we can't create matter. What's the old joke about the atheist and the believer where, you know, the atheist and God, where the atheist tells God, oh, you know, I can make man too. Right. Okay. Well, let's both start with dirt. And God says, well, get your own dirt. but that's the way God can create the dirt. God creates out of nothing. All right. I look at it that faith is like spiritual eyesight. I thought this quote was fascinating. Physical eyesight produces a conviction of evidence of visible things. Faith is the organ which enables people to see the invisible order. Right. Now, you guys know what I've gone through with my eyes in the last year, and I appreciate all your prayers and that, and you'll forgive me if I sometimes blink so I can see a little clearer and that. What I've gone through for physical eyesight, and that I'm blessed that it's as good as it is, and that. But it occurred to me, do I spend as much time and as much effort on my spiritual eyesight? So how is your spiritual eyesight? Right? Whether you're willing to walk in faith or not, I think is a great spiritual eye test. Now, we're going to kind of skip through this chapter. Verses 7 to 22 is a hall of fame for faith. Okay? Look at it on your own. Please spend a few minutes. It doesn't take long in that, right? Noah, right? Here, he lives in a world that has never seen rain. God tells him to build this big boat in his backyard, right, for a flood. Right? It takes him 100 years to build this boat. Right now, I don't know what his neighbors or the homeowners association had to say about that. I'm guessing he had some skeptics telling him that, you know, this is really pretty stupid what you're doing, Noah. For 100 years. Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about walking out in faith. Right? And that, you know, Abram, right? The Lord, he's a prosperous rancher. Right? And the Lord tells him, I want you to pick up with your immediate family and move. Well, where, Lord? I'll tell you later. And he does it. Right? The people of faith, when God tells them, they believe him. And it can be true for all of us too. Right? One thing all of the Old Testament heroes have in common is that they moved in faith. You know, whether it be Noah, Abram, Joseph, King David with the Goliath, they moved in faith. But it's fascinating too that so many of them, sometimes they lacked faith, right? Abram's a great story, right? The Lord tells him that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. He goes into Egypt with his wife, right? They still haven't had any children. And his wife is beautiful, and he knows that the Egyptians tend to kill the husband so that they can then take the woman as their wife. So Abram tells his wife, look, would you tell him you're my sister? Which was partially true. She was his half-sister. Okay? But right now, was he acting in faith? God told him he was going to, his offspring, which he had not had yet, would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. No. He did not act in faith. Now, that's encouraging to me, too, because confession, I haven't always acted in faith all the time either. There are times I've failed faith tests. And yet, Abram, right, he's known for his faith, right? His name is known thousands of years later for his faith. And that tells me that there's hope for me. And if you failed in your faith, there's hope for you, too. Now, verses 23 to 29 focus on Moses and how he exercises faith in God. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about it, right? Pharaoh, he was raised as the grandson of Pharaoh, right? The king of Egypt, right? Now, every grandparent I know, right, wants to spoil their grandkids. Right, if your grandfather is the king, you probably can really get spoiled. Right, I don't think Moses would have lacked anything, and yet he said that that's not important. I need to do what God wants me to do. Faith is not based on how strong, righteous, powerful, wealthy I am. Right, faith is based on how strong, righteous, powerful God is. We should never, when we face those obstacles, don't think about how strong I am, what I can see. Think about how strong. Keep our focus on Jesus. Remember that focus. Verse 25, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. A lot of times when we're not faithful, when we refuse to move in faith, it's because we're afraid of consequences, earthly consequences. I see some nodding heads in that. Or we really would prefer the pleasure. The Lord says, you know, don't go there. That's bad for you. And we go, oh, come on, Lord, it's just a party I want to go to. You know, it's just a few drinks or whatever. Right? And that Moses chose to suffer. And that, and in his case, following the Lord did mean suffering, right? First Peter, right? Resisting the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I know we would like to believe that as children of God, everything would be hunky-dory and perfect all the time. It would all be rainbows and donuts. Is that a phrase? Rainbow and butterfly. Okay, well, I don't know. For me, it's donuts. For me, it's donuts. I'm sorry, you know. But the truth is that, you know, sometimes we got to eat our spinach. And we have to take our castor oil and just, you know, and nobody knows what castor oil is anymore. Okay. The fact is that sometimes moving in faith will mean suffering. It's just true. Verse 26, right? Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. When we act in faith, we invest in eternity. Now, there will be a judgment for all of us as believers. Now, that judgment will not be for sin, because we're forgiven that. But it will be for what did we do with the resources, the talents that the Lord gave us here on earth. I think part of that judgment is going to be based on how we act in faith. Verse 27, faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Sometimes when we act in faith, we're going to face the anger of the world. Sometimes it's going to be people that we love and we care about. But Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. We persevere. We continue on. We take the next step because we see the Lord who is invisible. Our focus is on Jesus. All right. 28 and 29, right? Talks that he kept the Passover and the application of blood. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. This is saying Moses, when he wanted to act in faith, he remembered the Passover, what the Lord did. When we want to act in faith, we need to remember the resurrection. Right? The resurrection is the power for our faith. Right? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Resurrection is absolutely essential to our faith. And so if you want to move in faith, remember the resurrection. Keep your eye on Jesus. Right now, verses 35 to 40, right, tells us that not all of God's promises are for earthly existence. Right? They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The promises that Moses depended on, in many cases, weren't fulfilled until Jesus came, long after Moses was gone. Sometimes the promises that we stand on, we won't see here on earth. That's just the way it is. And that. Now, natural question that you may be asking is, well, how can I build my faith? Right? You want to build faith? That's something that you want more of? Please shake your head yes so I don't feel bad. Okay. The first is begin by recognizing that you've already demonstrated faith when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Right? You learned something about the nature of God, you believed him, and you acted on your belief, and you've been rewarded, in part, so far, by that action. Right? We build our faith in God by spending time in his word, spending time with him. All right? Yeah, okay. Won't use that as an example. Right. Romans tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. The more time I spend with the Lord, the better I know him. The better I know him, the easier it is for me to have faith in him and to act on that faith. All right. Our faith grows when we take action. Now here's a passage that we're all familiar with, right? This is the faith versus works passage. Right? A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Think about it for a second. I can have faith that God is going to do something. But if I don't take action on that, faith is useless. It accomplishes nothing. It hasn't changed anything. It hasn't changed me. It hasn't changed the world around me. Right? It hasn't changed the seen world. Faith is only alive when we take action. Faith is an action word. We need to put steps to it. We need to recognize, too, that it's the Lord that gives us faith. Our job is to move in the faith that he has already given us. All right? Hebrews 12:2 tells us Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author because of the resurrection. He's the finisher because he's faithful to complete the good works in us that he has begun. Okay, let's review some key concepts. All right. We come to Jesus through faith. Right. If you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you do it because you acted in faith. All right. Faith is believing that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And again, let me underline the word earnestly. It's not for the lazy. The lazy will not find more faith. It takes action. It takes earnestness. Our faith is in Jesus, not in ourselves, not what we can see, not what we feel, not even in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus and the Lord. That's the only place that our faith should be. Faith in anything else is foolish. There are obstacles to our faith. We need to know what they are. Right? Should know where the roadblocks are. Know where the potholes in the road are. Right? Know what the enemy might try to do to you along the path of following your faith. Right? We overcome these obstacles, all of them, by focusing on Jesus. Faith is spiritual eyesight. Seeing things in the spirit. Faith is circular. The more you act in faith, the more of the Lord you see, who he is, his nature. You know, we pray in the name of Jesus. Well, when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we're saying his nature. Right? The more we act in faith, the more we see of the nature of the Lord. And the more you use your faith, the more you have it. Can we bring, yes, we can bring the microphone. I can do it.
So a couple slides back, you mentioned growing your faith can be done through spending time in the Word. So I've definitely noticed that with especially the morning time, because once the day starts going, it's, at least for me, it's almost impossible to get back. It's just gone. So what I find interesting is I'll get very busy with life or whatever and get that, like, sleeping in, too tired. I won't be able to focus anyway, Lord, which is a lie. But anyway, but then when something bad happens in my life or what I perceive as bad because it's uncomfortable, suddenly spending time in the Word is, like, the thing I want to do. I suddenly have time because I make it. And, you know, I go to him and I, you know, I read his Word. I speak with him. And the coolest thing to me that encourages me is the way that he speaks to me through his Word to my whatever's going on right then in my life, which is because the Word is alive, but nothing else does that, just the Word of God. And then as I also read the Word and then I have like some kind of devotional or marriage book or whatever, he often will, like whatever he said to me in the Word, he'll say over here too. Mm-hmm. And
confirm it.
Like, it really builds my faith. It's not like I almost feel like strength coming into me and encouragement. And then it slowly will slip away when I miss days. And then when I come back, I'm always like, why do I do this to myself? Like, I let myself get so weak. And then I'm, you know, short with everybody and just miserable. And then when something's bad enough, I come running back. And then I'm like, why do I do this? Like, it's amazing. Why would I ever skip this for anything else? And I, you know, God has brought me to, you know, coming more regularly to him, but I'm still not where I want to be. Like, I definitely want to be coming to him every day, every morning. But I just want to encourage everybody, when you do read the Word, if the enemy tells you that it's boring and you won't understand, blah, 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 just trust in what God says about his Word. It's alive and living, and it's going to, there's so many things he wants to do through you if you would allow him to, and to just go. Like, just put your expectations in the Lord and not in, you know, whatever the enemy is saying to you.
You're absolutely right, Rebecca, that the word does not come back void. And that's absolutely true. And, I think it's fascinating. I think a lot of us, we think of ourselves as physical beings with a spiritual side. That's backwards. We're spiritual beings with a physical side, right? All of the things here, they won't be here 100 years from now, right? But 100 years from now, if we know the Lord Jesus, we will be in eternity. And that 100 years is a dot in eternity. We are spiritual creatures, and that, yet the spiritual world is something that we don't see with our human eyes, at least not, you know, occasionally the Lord will give us a vision into it. In that, but that world goes on. You know, Dana this morning in the prayer group, you know, read a passage from Psalms. Right? I'm from Daniel. I'm sorry, Psalms on my mind today. Passage from Daniel, right? And you know, there's an unseen world going on around us. Right? It's going on right here in this room right now. And that it's going on in your homes, going on in your cars. And you know, we are spiritual creatures living in physical bodies. Yeah, anyone else have a thought that they want to share? No? Okay, well, let me close in prayer, and then we'll turn it over. One last thought. Right? That's fascinating. Pastor Darren mentioned that he's going to invite people for prayer. That's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith. It's fascinating that the Lord tells, you know, me that faith should be the topic for this morning. He's telling Pastor Darren to invite people to ask for prayer. Right? They're both faith topics. This isn't an accident. The Lord knows what he's doing. Why don't you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. We thank you that our faith rests on the resurrection. It rests on who you are, an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God that can move mountains, can create floods, and can draw sinners like us to yourself, Lord, that you can grow our faith. And so, Lord, now I ask that you would help all of us, Lord, to have the opportunity to move out in our faith, to know more about you, about our Savior, and to see our faith grow. And we thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our eternities. And now, Lord, we ask that you might bless our time in communion, Lord, that it might be truly that a time where we commune with you. And we thank you. In the blessed name of our Savior Jesus, what God's people said.
Amen. 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 You guys will start passing out the representations of the body and blood of Jesus Christ to everyone now. That would be wonderful. Miss Neely, I'm going to ask a favor if you could kind of move some of your stuff. I know you're going to be leading us. You can take this if you want to. Move that down just a smidgen. Thank you so much, just to make room for his people to pray. So I found it interesting what the Lord said, hey, I want you to do something different, and I want you to do communion. I never do communion. And so we always have someone else do it, and he said, I want you to do it. And then he gave me a concept of what he wants me to do, and it's honestly stepping out in faith because we've not done this before. And I thought, oh, Lord, okay, we're going to do a prayer time after we take communion together. And you guys can pass it out, yes. And so that in itself takes a step of faith because, to be honest, I don't know if anybody will come down here and pray for people. Honestly, for 100% sure, I've asked, but it's up to you guys. I don't know if people will come down to get prayed for. And so, you know, that's a little bit of a step of faith. And then, you know, even Pastor Gary, or I don't know if it was Pastor Gary or Lester or somebody, was asking me, hey, so what are you going to do for communion? The message, and I don't know. Well, I know he wants me to do something, but he didn't tell me. He literally, I kid you not, he didn't tell me what to do. I'm sitting here almost in a little bit of a minor panic, and he's telling me 5 minutes ago, maybe 10, my conception of time's bad. Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah, about 10 minutes ago, he said, this is what I want you to talk about. And I said, oh, wow, Lord. Okay. So, and that goes right along with what Pastor was gearing. As you take, Pastor Gary was saying, as you step out in faith, each step brings you, God shows up and shows you again. See, you do this and he'll show up. So he wants to do that with you and in you. And so here was the here was the verse, and it'll just be short, but it's the parable of the persistent widow. And whenever we share this, everybody's like, this is a terrible topic. Because it makes God sound like he's a terrible, tyrannical leader who just answers a prayer because it's just so dang annoying. But I'm going to read something to you, and I want you to listen, and God, open our ears to hear. I'm just going to read the story. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them how they should always pray and never give up. And I'm going to hold my comments because I believe he wants me to do this. There's a specific verse at the end that he told me specifically to speak out. It says, he said, it's written in red by Jesus, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary, please. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, or I don't care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. I'm going to hold off on the last sentence because for a minute. You know, I think about people like Joseph. You know, God spoke to him supernaturally in dreams. Do you remember that? About what was going to happen in the future. Now, Joseph had to live many, many years as an ostracized kid. In fact, his own brothers threw him down a well, eventually sold him into slavery, his own family. Talk about the hand of rejection, right? Not only that, but then he's trying to do the right thing after he's sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. He doesn't sleep with the owner's wife, and he's doing the right thing, right? And what does he get for his faith? Prison. And then in prison, he meets a baker, and the king's baker, and then the king's wine tester, the king of the world, basically, at that time in Egypt. And he says, going to be and he tells them they had dreams, and he interprets them for himself. Exactly, God is speaking to you, and here's what he's saying, and they come true. And he says, when you get out, he said, I don't want you to forget me. And you know what they did? They completely forgot him. Now, if I was Joe, I'd be thinking, God, come on, I've been faithful, I've been doing the right thing the whole time. Don't you care about me? Don't you love me? What's the beef? In fact, just see, I've been thrown in jail. I'm forgotten about. I'm rotting. But God had a time and a place and a way for things that God couldn't see by sight, only by faith. And God ended up using him to not only save the whole world from starvation, but all of God's people, and including his own family, those who actually rejected him and sold him into slavery. At the proper time. And so I say all that to say, God wants us to have faith. And part of having faith, and this is important, is stepping out in that faith. So in just a minute, we're going to pray over the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to call a couple people forward, and hopefully they'll come up. If they don't, I'll work it out. I'll just trust the Lord there. And I think he wants me to immediately pray. I think he wants to have others pray for people. And then I'm going to ask you guys to come forth with a prayer request. And by faith, you're going to have to come down here. You can kneel down here at the altar, and somebody will pray with you. And if somebody is praying for someone else, then you just get down and you start praying. Someone will be there. You stay there until someone comes and prays over you. Does that make sense? Everybody get it? And if you can't kneel, there's some seats up here that you can come and sit in the front row, okay? That you can sit and people will pray for you, okay? So that's what we're going to do. All right, so let's take now, okay? That last verse, by the way, in Luke chapter 18, in verse 8, it says, however, when the Son of Man comes back, when Jesus comes again, it says, will he find faith on the earth? Part of having faith is to stepping out when you're called, either to pray for people or to be prayed for, to not worry about what anyone else thinks, to not care about those things, just to care about what Jesus thinks. I personally think God wants to do a miraculous thing in your life. And you might, whatever that you tell that person to pray for, can I tell you something? If they're praying for you, I hope in Jesus' name that they're open to the Holy Spirit, and they might even pray something along with that that's completely different. And that's okay. You allow them to pray for you in faith under the unction of the Holy Spirit, because God may have something for you or is calling you or wants to do something miraculous in your life. So you just come, you just step out in faith. Does that make sense? Don't worry about what your friend says, your husband, your wife, your kid. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about anything. Worry about being obedient and stepping out in faith. Does that make sense? All right. Well, let's just take the cracker that represents the body of Jesus Christ, and let's pray, and we'll take that together. Father, we want to say thank you for being the starter of our faith, Lord. Thank you for being the finisher, Lord God. Thank you for your body that was whipped and bruised for us, Lord. As we take this bread, let us remember that you are the one that we need to step out in faith and trust, Lord God. And by taking this, Lord, we're doing that right now. We're asking you just to cleanse us in a spiritual sense, Lord God, for your words are spirit and their life. We take this and give you honor and praise in Jesus' name as we take this cracker together. Now we take the blood together. As we take this cup, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that it would be a reminder of your blood shed for us, Lord God. Every sin, past, present, and future, Lord God. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you for your blood that was shed for me personally, Lord God. Thank you for that, Lord. And as I take it, Lord, let me just praise you and thank you in my heart for your blood that washes away all my sins, Lord, as we take that cup together in Jesus' name here and at home. Let's take that now. Okay, and I'm going to call a couple people up here to pray for others. And again, you don't have to do so, but I'm asking you to step out in faith, okay? So, Pastor Gary, would you come, maybe just have a seat if you can. If not, you can sit over here on the, but, yeah, and just have a sit. Yeah, thank you so much. Kim, Peggy, Don, just come on up here so we have guys and gals. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being obedient. And if I were you, there's Peggy, and there's Gary, there's Miss Kim, there's Don. Okay. So now I'm just going to ask in a second for Miss Neely to grab her guitar if you're able. And what we're going to do for the next however long this lasts, Miss Neely, I just want you to sing and if you can, if you have room. If not, just make room. Thanks. And so what we're going to do is as she sings and worships, we're just going to call you down, and I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to pray, I might just continue to call people and or just call you down as a group. And that's what I'm going to do first. But I'm going to ask you to come and just ask the Lord what he wants you to ask for prayer for. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. So just ask, seek, knock. And if you just ask him, even now, who do you want me to go to? And again, if not, you just come down here and kneel at the altar or sit down here at one of these seats. We'll make room, and just one at a time, and people will pray for you. And if you feel led to go over, you see somebody getting prayed for, and you feel like you're supposed to go pray as well, then you go up and lay hands on them and pray. It's okay. So again, I don't know if anybody will come, but I'm just encouraging over the next, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, however long it lasts, I'll stop us at some point. But Miss Neely, you can just sing and just keep singing if that's okay. And then, you know, later on, George, when you feel like you should shut down the cameras, you can shut down the cameras. And if you feel like you have to go after this first song or so, then just feel free to quietly exit the back. But we want to continue to pray, okay? So Miss Neely, if you would start us off. And please, I'm just asking, I want you to start praying about coming down and asking for prayer. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Come down and let somebody lay hands on you and pray over you. Don't be afraid to speak up and to ask and to say what you need. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be scared of. The people here want to pray over you. They want to bless you. They want to encourage you. And so we're just asking in Jesus' name that you would come. So Miss Neely, if you would pray, and I might just even be speaking sometime in the middle of your worshiping, if that's okay. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Allow the Lord to speak to you. Thank you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Don't be afraid.